Now, voting by mail could be a big part of Wisconsin's fall elections. The State Elections Commission is looking at a plan that would substantially increase the number of absentee ballots. It would be paid for with federal COVID-19 relief money. The panel delayed a final vote yesterday after the Republican chair said he wanted to send those forms to fewer people. It could meet again next week. A record 62% of residents voted absentee in the April election during the early stages of Wisconsin's stay-at-home order. Turnout for the November presidential election is expected to be much higher. David Cannon is a professor of political science at UW-Madison. He's also editor-in-chief of the Election Law Journal and is affiliated with the Elections Research Center. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be with you.
Well, what's on the table for the State Elections Commission when it could lead that could lead to more mail-in voting here in the state?
Well, one thing that they were had on the table yesterday was the idea to send the forms to request an absentee ballot to all registered voters in the state. That's something we've seen several states around the country do recently. Michigan, Nevada, was in the news yesterday when President Trump was calling them out for doing this and saying this was voter fraud. So this issue has become really politicized just in the last couple of weeks, where, you know, in previous elections, voting by mail, there was, you know, strong bipartisan consensus that this was a good and reasonable way for people to vote when they, you know, couldn't make it to the polls on election day. But now, especially because President Trump has put this kind of front and center as a partisan issue, there was some pushback on the Wisconsin Election Commission yesterday from the two Republican appointees on the panel who resisted that idea of sending the reforms to request absentee ballots to all registered voters.
Let's give a listen to Dean Knutson, former state representative and Republican Elections Commission chair, talking about why he's not opposed to sending out these absentee ballot requests, but saying we don't need to do as many as they were looking at. Here's a listen.
You know, voters that already have a photo ID on file, I mean, they voted absentee before, they know how to do it. I don't see why we need to spend money to send them a paper request for something they've done before.
And then Republicans on the commission also pointed out that some local governments are already sending out applications for absentee ballots to a lot of people, so don't duplicate it. So are we just kind of tinkering around the edges of exactly how many people we send these applications to?
Right. I think, yes, I think eventually we will have a pretty massive effort to make sure that people do have the opportunity to vote by mail in Wisconsin. It's not like we're like Texas or some states where they are really trying to discourage vote by mail completely. And so it is more at the margins. So I think the number I read that the Democratic people on the commission were proposing something around 2.7 million. Republicans were shooting for something maybe closer to 2 million. So, you know, it's up for negotiation now in terms of exactly how many will be sent out and to who. So, like, if you already have a voter ID on file, as we just heard in the clip, I think that was about 500,000 people that are in that category. So that would reduce the number by quite a bit if they decided to go that direction.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Steve is with us in Sun Prairie. Steve, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've always been confused between the definitions of mail-in ballot versus absentee ballot. And I did talk to my representative, and what they told me was the difference is on an absentee ballot, a voter has to specifically call or go to the clerk, potentially show their ID, and then the ballot would be mailed to them. They can mail it back. Whereas in mail-in voting, the clerk just automatically sends the ballot regardless of whether or not the potential voter asked for it or not. Is that the difference?
Steve, thanks for the
no.
call and for pulling us back to a basic question. David, go ahead.
No, we don't have a system at all where it's automatically sent. There are only five states in the country that have that right now, and they're all states out west. So it's Washington, Oregon, Colorado, Nevada, and Utah. But there are five states that have that automatic. We don't have that in Wisconsin. And so you have to request an absentee ballot in order to be able to vote by mail. Now, the part that's a little confusing is that you can have an absentee ballot that actually is not sent through the mail, but you can vote in person absentee. And that's normally what we would call early voting, where you go down to your clerk's office, or here in Madison, you can go to the library and vote in the library. And we have those early voting sites. That's considered an absentee vote because you're not voting on election day. So the general category is an absentee vote. That's when you're voting on some day other than election day. And that can either be in person at your clerk's office or at a polling site, early voting site, or by mail. But when you're voting by mail, you have to, in Wisconsin, request that ballot. It will not be automatically sent to you under any circumstances.
Thanks for the call. We're talking to David Cannon, political scientist at UW-Madison, looking at absentee voting and mail-in voting. A lot of states talking about expanding it around the country, including possibly Wisconsin sending applications for absentee ballots to more people. You mentioned President Trump. He's been critical of expansion of mail-in voting. Yesterday, he had threatened to withhold federal grants to Michigan and Nevada if those states sent absentee ballots or applications for them, I should say, to voters. Before heading out to Michigan today, he was asked about his opposition. Here's a listen.
We don't want them to do mail-in ballots because it's going to lead to total election fraud. So we don't want them to do mail-in ballots. We don't want anyone to do mail-in ballots. Now, if somebody has to mail it in because they're sick or, by the way, because they live in the White House and they have to vote in Florida and they won't be in Florida, if there's a reason for it, that's okay. If there's a reason. But if there's not, we don't want to take any chances with fraud in our elections.
So does more mail-in voting lead to more likelihood of fraud?
No, it doesn't. And so just another sort of category here that the president just talked about is the no-excuse absentee voting, which we have in Wisconsin, versus the excuse absentee voting, where you have to have an excuse. You're going to be out of the state, you work in the White House, and you live in Florida. And so President Trump has voted by mail himself, as he just indicated. So two-thirds of the states in the United States right now have no-excuse absentee voting. So what President Trump just said, it would be to undo the process of voting that we've used in two-thirds of the states in the United States for the last many decades. So this is not something that is just being invented because of the COVID pandemic. This is something that's been a routine part of voting, with hundreds of millions of ballots cast through this process in over the, again, last many decades. And so that's one thing that listeners should be aware of, is this is not something brand new that's just being proposed for the first time. Hundreds of millions of Americans have voted by mail for a long time. The second thing on fraud, this is something that has been debunked for so long by so many studies that there is just infinitesimally small risk of voter fraud from either just regular voting at the polling place or by mail. There was one study done, a big meta study by Rick Hazen, who's probably the top election expert in the country, and he did a sort of canvas of all the studies on voter fraud in American elections, and he discovered that out of all the elections from 2000 to 2012, we're talking about billions of votes being cast, there are 491 prosecutions related to absentee ballots in all elections from 2000 to 2012. And this, again, we're talking about billions of votes with a B, and there were 491 prosecutions because of absentee ballots. So this is not a problem. This is not something we should be worried about. What we should be worried about is allowing people to vote in a safe way during a pandemic so they don't have to make a choice between their own health and voting in an election.
We're talking about voting from home as a way to protect voters and poll workers from the coronavirus. David Cannon is our guest, professor of political science at UW-Madison, editor-in-chief of the Election Law Journal. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Should Wisconsin make it easier for people to vote from home? Should the state be sending out absentee voter applications, absentee ballot applications to everyone, many people? Did you get one in the mail from your local government in the last election? Do you like to vote by mail? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're looking at the possibility of Wisconsin expanding its mail-in voting efforts for fall elections. David Cannon is with us, political science professor at UW-Madison and editor-in-chief of the Election Law Journal. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on mail-in voting, making absentee ballots accessible to more people, to everyone. Should we try to go mail-in only in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's go back to your calls now. Bill is with us in Milwaukee. Bill, hello.
Hello. My question would be, how do you expect the Postal Service to handle this when they struggle with letters at this stage of the game? Now mail gets lost, misplaced, sits around in post offices. How would you expect them to handle this situation, simply going all mail voting?
Bill, thanks a lot for the call. Well, that's not a hypothetical. Even without all mail voting, there were concerns about ballots sitting in post offices. David, do we have the mail-in infrastructure for a huge jump, potentially in absentee voting?
Well, it is a very good question, and we did see the reports of some of those ballots that were never delivered, that were actually sitting in these boxes in the post office. The Election Commission just had their final report they issued a couple days ago about absentee voting in the April primary, and they found that there were 2,659 ballots that were received after April 13th. So these were ballots that were mailed by Election Day, should have been in time, but still weren't delivered 6 days later. And because of the Supreme Court decision that set that April 13th deadline, those ballots ended up not being counted then. But there were 70,000 ballots that were counted in that intervening 6 days from Election Day until the 13th. But the way to handle this and the way to make sure that the votes are counted is have enough of a time lag when the ballots are sent, and then giving enough of a time lag after the election to have them counted. And so, again, this is not anything that we have to make up. There's five states that do this for all of their elections, everything by mail, and those are the mechanisms that they use to make sure we don't have that crush that we had in April. And the reason that April was such a mess here in Wisconsin was this was an unprecedented level of request for absentee ballots for an April election because of the COVID crisis. We had 1.55 million ballots were cast in the April primary, and 62% of them were absentee ballots cast by mail. Another 12.5% were the absentee early votes cast at the clerk's offices. And so that's, we had 1.3 million absentee ballots that were sent and about 1.15 million that were returned. So there's a lot of much more than we normally would have in an April election. And that's one reason I think both the clerk's offices were just swamped by all of this extra volume, and then the post office as well. And so the way to make sure this doesn't happen again is to give enough of a time cushion on either side to both send the ballots and to then have them received by the clerk's offices.
Thanks for the call. We've got a Paul with us now in Toma. Paul, hi.
Hi. I have a question about people who are against using the mail-in ballots. If they were to push that down, I would suggest that the modification of local balloting places where they put up shields and hand-washing stations and social distancing or voting from your car, that those should be eliminated because obviously there's no concern.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, it's an interesting point because I don't think Wisconsin's about to go mail-in only anytime soon. Can you talk about that side of things, making polling places safer and other changes we might need there, David?
Well, right. So that is definitely, I think, it's a good point. We're not going to go to all mail in Wisconsin anytime soon. No one's talking about that for this fall. We simply could not implement something that big of a change in how we vote in such a short amount of time. And so what we'll see is some kind of, you know, mixed version of what we've had in recent elections. But, you know, I think we absolutely will continue, especially if we have a, you know, a second wave of the pandemic in the fall, the way that some people are anticipating, we will have to have those kind of precautions at the polling places. Now, another thing that other states have made good use of that we could also increase pretty easily would be drop-off sites. So this would address both Paul's point and Bill's point about not wanting to rely on the Postal Service. Well, states that have the all-mail voting, one thing they have are drop sites all around the city, you know, where you can go drop off your ballot yourself in the secure site. So you don't have to rely on the post office. And, you know, upwards of a third of the people take advantage of those drop off sites. And so that'd be another thing we could do to both reduce the pressure on the polling places themselves, which we will have to, again, probably have the social distancing and all of the other precautions that we took, you know, at polling places in April. But if you have those drop off sites, that also take some of the pressure off the post office then.
Thanks for that call. 30 seconds for this answer, David. There's concern from both parties. Hey, if we make this change, is it going to help us or hurt us? With mail-in voting, is there any evidence that it helps or hurts one party or the other?
Well, no, there really isn't. That's the other thing that's really hard to understand, why this has become such a partisan issue. In fact, there was just a study released yesterday by Pew about the early voting that's happening in Georgia right now. They've had 1.5 million ballots requested so far for that June primary coming up. 33% of the requests are from Republicans, 21% from Democrats, and 11% of independents have requested ballots so far. So there, the absentee balloting is really helping Republicans. But overall, studies have shown that there's really not much of a partisan advantage. And so it is hard to understand why this has become such a partisan issue, because, you know, in general, this just helps people vote from both parties.
David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
David Cannon is a professor of political science at UW-Madison. He's also editor-in-chief of the Election Law Journal and is affiliated with the Elections Research Center. We talked to him today about how voting at home systems work in other states and whether Wisconsin might follow suit in some measure. The State Elections Commission says it could meet next week to hold a final vote for elections this year.